All right, welcome everybody. Today we're going to be talking about something that should be near and dear to all your hearts. We've talked about this in many ways, but I really want to zero in on it because it's an issue that's there for all of you at all times. It's there for Udo and Leanne and Sarah and just everybody. Definitely Oliver. And that's how to get people to say yes faster. You know, that's one of the things we're all trying to do. How can we move things forward faster? How can we get people to say yes to a small thing that leads to a big thing? So I wrote a few things down here. So we want to get a yes to our marketing appeals, but we need to remember that yeses come in steps from small to large. Often what we want is a larger step than we're entitled to get given the relationship and the situation. So we have to often step back and find out, well, what is the next yes? So examples of yeses, and there's endless examples, are an opt-in on your website. That's a yes. That's someone saying, yeah, I'm interested. I want to know more. I want your report. I want to be on your list. Accepting a follow-up call in any kind of situation. Making an appointment is a small yes. Getting cards after a talk. Setting up strategy sessions from, you know, any number of situations. Let me give you a couple examples. I was talking to my client in Australia yesterday, and we were talking about a writing coach. And he says, I worked with a writing coach on my book, and I was really happy with it. And I said, well, I have the beginnings of a new book I'm starting to work on. So I'm looking at a writing coach, and I already set up an appointment with someone to talk to and see if they're right for me. And he said, well, I know that person. I know she's pretty expensive, but I think she is pretty good. But I was really happy with my coach as well. But he said, you know, something that I think she was brilliant is she offers the first two sessions with her for only $75 total. I said, so that's an easy thing to say yes to. So that's an offer. So what we're talking about is offers. Here is what I can offer you now as a first step that's easy, more likely to get a yes. Now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily the best offer. Maybe she could do more and it would still work, but it definitely works. So not only that, the offer is right on her homepage. She says, this is what we do and we write these books and blah, 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 and we help you with it. And to make it easier for you to get started, here is the offer. So it's right there. It's up front. Not that you always want that on your homepage, but it makes it easy for sure. So the other one is my client, Mark Thompson, in Florida, who is a high-end strategy consultant. And he still sells strategy programs. It's kind of, he teaches the company a process, a step-by-step process for developing the strategy and getting buy-in from all the stakeholders, getting very clear about what their strategy is and getting that consensus. And he's had a lot of success. He's helped a number of companies increase their business by 10 times. We're talking big multiples, multiple millions of dollars. And his service costs $100,000. It's hard to believe it. It's actually $100,000, not $10,000, $100,000. And he sells 5 to 10 of those a year, depending on various things. But his marketing method, I've been working for him on and off for several years. He's done courses with me. We worked one-on-one. We're working one-on-one again. So he's now doing talks. So there's a number of yeses in that whole thing. First of all, if he gets a person that is that he knows in that particular business association, so he speaks to big business associations, big manufacturers associations, things like that. So his first yes is to find somebody who's affiliated with that association, who knows who he is, can vouch for him, that can talk to the the powers that be to get him to talk. So he's been pretty good at spending a lot of time on the phone and getting those talks. And he's given a few of those talks, and each of those talks he's getting one or two clients from, which is fine. But I said, Mark, I think what's missing here is your talk might be good, but we haven't refined that small offer that a larger percentage of people can take advantage of. What he's doing is, in some ways, I think, kind of overwhelming people. He and the guy that used to be his boss wrote this book. So he buys all these books that, I don't know what they cost, to get some in wholesale, and he gives these books to people that are interested at the talk. And then he does a little bit of follow-up. And I said, I'm not sure that's the right thing. We want to have something that is packaged in such a way that they'll want it. Now, what he's offering, essentially what he offers, and is his in-company presentation that takes 2.5 or 3 hours. And that presentation, that works. He gets 90 to 95% of the people that see that presentation as clients. So he doesn't have to make a lot of changes for that. That works. It gets them seeing the light about consensus and the driving force and all of this, and they say, yes, I want it, and he closes the deal over and over and over again. But getting in to give that presentation is what is hard. So that's what we're working on now. What is this offer that they would feel that they would really be missing out if they didn't take advantage of that? And so we sort of got to the, I have to bring him in from this 10 million ideas to the focused idea that we've got to make that offer to get a yes on that offer. And I think at a talk, instead of getting one or two clients, he could get 5 or 6 clients. He's got the goods. He produces the results. He's got amazing results from clients. All he has to do is make that small offer very compelling. So it's from the big to the small, whether you're, you know, the independent. He's also an independent professional. He's essentially a one-person business. But no matter what it is that you're offering, what is that thing? So for, I'm just looking at the people on the call. For Sarah, it's getting that appointment to have the discussion about ASD, right? It's just having that discussion. It's that meeting. For Sharon, it's getting that meeting, but it's also getting meetings with people, like the email she just sent me yesterday, getting that meeting with people that can give her a reference or get further into the company. For Oliver, it's getting all these past clients to say, yes, I will give you referrals and move that along faster. So most of you are kind of clear about what you want to get. For Leanne, who's focusing on her yoga practice most now, it's getting people into a complimentary session. You give a free session to everybody, Leanne, to start with. Is that correct? Yeah, so it's getting that. For Udo, who's working on his webpage to get people interested in the service, you know, selling the service online just like that, not so easy. He's trying to figure out, well, what is it exactly that can compel them to get a free or very low-cost service that will impress them enough so he can take the next step? So here's the question. And this is something that you don't answer one time for yourself. This is something that as you progress in your business, you keep looking at this, keep coming back to this. And it's a really good and simple question. What's the easiest next thing that I can do, hopefully make it into a system, that can make more of my prospective clients say yes? So when I fill the Marketing Mastery program, what they say yes to first is, some people say yes to a teleclass. Did any of you attend my introductory teleclasses to this program that I did at the end of last year? Oliver, you did? You did, Sarah? Udo did? Okay. can't see the other people. So, Roberta, did you attend? You didn't. Sharon, did you attend? No. But you got my emails. And so as a result of the emails, you went to the site. So the first yes for some people was attending the teleclass. And the second yes was having, you know, filling out the application. So it's just filling out the application, which is sort of an offer in itself. Read this, fill out the application. And I know if someone fills out the application, I have a 50-50 chance, sometimes better, sometimes as good as 70-30, of that person ending up in the program. So the offer then is to have the meeting, and then we have the strategy session, and it turns into a client. So we see it as a number of steps and a number of yeses instead of this big leap. And it's sometimes the thing that we struggle with is, well, what is that yes? What is that thing? What is, how do we make it easy? How do we make it not too easy, but so that we're just talking to people that aren't qualified, but we make it easy enough that that looks like a good step. You know, my whole business has been based on, in some ways, yes, that people do on my website every day to just to sign up for my list, because those are the people that, for the most part, become my clients over a period of time. And then when I did a lot of speaking, it was getting the cards, following up, offering strategy sessions. So what makes an offer compelling enough to get a yes is the question. What makes an offer compelling enough? So this is where I want you to kind of look and tell me what you think makes your, can make your offer compelling enough. Sort of like it's designing this thing that is compelling, and it's interesting. You know, because I've mentioned this before. If you say a certain, if you give a great talk and you say a certain thing after a talk, and if you say it in a certain way, you get about 20% of cards. If you say another way, same talk, you'll get about 80% of cards. So if you think of it, that getting that yes and getting 400% improved results is just a matter of how you offered it and what you offered. And often not what you offered, but how you offered it. So there's both of those things, because I'm still offering the report in all cases. But if I say at the end, I have this report, and if anyone wants it, just come up at the end and I'll give you a copy. That tends to get 20%. Whereas if you hold it up and say, I have this report, who would like a copy? So what you're doing is you're getting them to respond. And when they put up their hands up, then they will tend to act consistently with that and get the copy. So it's simple, but it's also kind of a little bit of magic, you know, if you can find that thing. Some are obviously easier and some harder. If they're complete strangers, it's harder. If they know you better, it's easier. If you built more of a relationship, it's easier. If you don't have much of a relationship, it's harder. So you have to look at the dynamics of that situation to find that offer and the way to ask for it so more people say, yeah, that's I can do that. I'd be happy to do that. I want to do that. I want that, whatever it is, that next step is. So I'm going to try to shut up. And I was watching this video of somebody yesterday, and he was having a conversation with somebody. And I said, I wish you would just shut up and ask this guy some questions. So I'm going to try to do that. Just get him to interact a bit. It was like, oh, on and on and on. Would have gone faster if he'd done that. So what makes an offer compelling enough to get a yes for you? What do you think? What do you think some of the elements are?
I have a thought. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People sign up for the intro conversation with me because there's something about their business that they're confused about, and the offer has to do with, even in that conversation, they're going to go away clearer on their situation.
Okay. So it's a promise of clarity.
Right.
So ultimately what we're saying is an offer that's compelling addresses a need or a pain.
Yes, exactly.
Or not necessarily, or at least it's pointing in that direction. If I want to get out of this pain, you know, if something happens to my body, I go to a doctor and he does the diagnosis. So it's a step on the way, and then I'll figure out if he can help me, right? So clarity and somehow relief from some kind of a pain. Okay, what else?
Somebody else.
I notice everyone has their mic muted, so come on, unmute your mics. Everybody has their mic muted.
I don't.
Yeah, except you. Everyone's thinking and waiting for the next person to go next.
I think a couple of the perceived competence and convenience.
Okay, so what would make that offer compelling is that they would have confidence in you.
Perceive you as competent.
And competent.
And it's convenient for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing is making it easy for people, so that's convenient. I think that's a very important component. So to show your competence, well, that's sort of, that has to permeate all your marketing. It's sort of like it's not specific to the offer, but it has to be there in the offer. Yeah.
Wouldn't also addressing the pain or needs to be permeate the marketing also?
Right? Say once again.
The addressing a need or a pain has to also permeate an offer. So
yeah.
Is our compelling offer a miniature version of everything we do?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. It's kind of holographic. It's like, here's your whole service, everything that you offer. And, you know, in every session, you offer a subset of that that leads to the whole, right? So the first meeting is the first subset of working with you, and the competence and the confidence and the value.
And convenience.
And the convenience. All of that have to, it's sort of like a perfect storm of wow, that sounds like, how could I lose from doing that? So I look at that writer's page and I go, it's almost too much. It's like $75 for 2 hours. Wouldn't I be taking advantage of her? So maybe it's almost too good an offer. I noticed myself thinking that. But it's a pretty good offer for a lot of people.
Offers can be too good.
What's
well, you know, if an offer is actually too good, you may draw the wrong client.
Exactly. Yes.
Last year, I'm part of a networking group, a women's networking group. And one of the things we do is we fundraise for local charities for women. And we do a really good job. And last year, it was spontaneous. At a meeting, I offered 90 minutes of my time for $20, and the money went to our fund. I got 15 people. None of them hired me. You know, it did not. I mean, on one side, it was great to get to know all these women.
It was a great offer in one way, and that a lot of people took advantage of it.
Yes, it was a great offer.
But what was wrong with that offer is the question.
They were people that were not going to invest in me, but $20 was great to spend time with me. So in terms of getting clients, it was not a good offer. In terms of being of service to my organization, it was great. And I've made some good friends.
So what was the value of that for you as you learned not to make an offer like that?
Yeah, it was.
But then if you fine-tune the offer, so it's often when I say at the end of a talk, you can not only get cards, but I often say, you know, something that I offer is a complimentary strategy session. A strategy session is an exploration of your business to find out where you are in your marketing right now and what you need to do next. This strategy session is for people that are sincerely want to grow their business in the next year and really take their marketing to the next level. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, I offer complimentary sessions for that. But I only offer a limited number. I can only do a certain number in any given month because I'm quite busy. So, but if you would be interested in exploring if that's right for you, right on the back of your card, strategy. And then I'll follow up with an email, tell you more about it, and you can see if you want to take advantage of it. So I put in some conditions, I give some benefits. So that's a pretty good offer. That's worked very effectively for me. And then if somebody, then I have them read my information on my site and fill out the questionnaire. That's necessary in order for them to get the strategy session. And if they fill out the form and they have, you know, one word answers to all the things, guess what? They don't get a strategy session with me. They're not qualified. So I avoid meeting with people that are not the right people. So you could have done some kind of version of that, but, you know, on the with your magnanimous inspiration, you wanted to offer it, and you made some money for the organization, which was nice.
It was all fine.
Yeah, it was. But if you'd set that up, but that's something you have to think through and practice. An offer is not just a spontaneous combustion. It's thought through. So the script I gave you is something I've used a number of times. And then the people that, so I get a lot of cards, and the people that fill out strategy session, they get a call the next day or the day after, or they get the email the next day or the day after. And those people are become very good prospective clients. Okay, what else has to be in an offer that makes it compelling enough to get a yes? You know, when you look at it, there's a lot of different elements. People are saying, well, just tell me, Robert. Well, I want you to think a bit. What else? What is in that offer that is going to make it more attractive?
Robert, I've been thinking about it as from when you started talking, because, you know, everybody's situation is different. And I understand, you know, it's got to be compelling and it's got to make them act and like Leanne said, it's got to be convenient for them. My problem is I'm not offering anything to the people I'm talking to. There's absolutely nothing in it for them except to help me. And I'm not starving or anything like that. So they go, you're doing fine. Screw you. I got better things to do with my time. They don't say that, but it's just,
of course. So, I wonder, I mean, that's a really good point. I wonder if you could put something in there that was a benefit to them that somehow tilted the balance a bit so they felt a little bit more obligation. Now, they were clients before. You've produced results for them before. You've helped them in their business. Yeah. They made money because of you, all of that. But that was a long time ago, so it's not really very present to them, perhaps.
Yeah, and as we've been talking, as everybody else has been talking, I've been listening, and I did come up with, you know, a couple ideas which I need to think about a little bit more. One of the things potentially in it for them is they're going to help somebody who really needs help by introducing me. And I like Roberta, I did, you know, the giveaway stuff and the $20 a session stuff. And in fact, I had very close to 300 women in a room at a hotel in Portland years and years ago for $15 a piece, including feeding them. I can get a single client out of it, you know, cause it was a really good deal, but they weren't going to pay for my stuff. And first I thought women hate me, but it wasn't that.
How many people were in the room?
There was 290 something. I forget. I worked like hell to fill the room.
I'll bet. And what were you? And after that, you probably said, "Forget this." So, What were you? What were you trying to sell at the back?
I was offering a sales training program that cost $2,000 or something like that.
Okay, so pretty high end.
Over a period of time, but I should have pursued it for different things, but I didn't. I just went, I got better things to do with my time.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the offer. Could you offer something like this? So, you know, I want to thank you for this, for referrals, because it means a lot to me. It's going to help me grow my business, blah, blah, blah. But I know you're very busy and it's not your biggest priority. So I'd like to offer something to you. And that offer would be X. So what is a possible X in that situation?
Well, I have one that's working. It's not going to work with everybody. Okay. But I'm basically offering them 15% of what I make from that client ongoing, which is not a great big deal because, 85% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
Okay. So the question is that's fine. That can work for some people.
Yeah.
But some people in a larger company that have more money than they know what to do with, it might not be very motivating. For some people, it might be very motivating. So what could you offer some kind of, what I want to offer you is a free or a complimentary or a something, a state of, what am I thinking? Kind of a consultation that will sort of give you an insight into exactly where your marketing and where your selling is right now, or where your sales managers are right now, and written recommendations of what you should do next.
I think that'll work, actually. That's right. I wrote it down. I'm going to give that a shot with some people.
You're too easy, Oliver.
Robert, I've been thinking about this a lot because I've got time on my hands.
You're moving forward. It's going to happen, but sometimes not as fast as we want. I feel good about that, and you do too. But it's like that would set up the feeling of this concept of reciprocity. If I give you something, I feel obligated. Yeah. So this is what we do. We have this session, and it starts with a questionnaire. That might be a good thing to do. Some kind of maybe it's an assessment, maybe it's just a questionnaire for you to understand certain things about their selling right now. Think of what are the components of that thing that you're offering. I'm going to talk to you, via Zoom for a certain period of time. I'm going to really dig into those things that aren't working as well as they could. And I'm going to give you a report of recommendations. Now, look, in some cases, that itself might turn into the next step, and they might hire you again to help them. You could restart some of these past clients, perhaps. But if nothing else, they will feel more obligated. So this is an exchange. I know it's going to take you a little bit of time to think and contact some of these people, but I feel, feel a lot of gratitude if you do that. I'd like to offer this to you.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
It feels a little less mercenary than 15%. Yeah. What I mean?
Yeah, well, it depends on the person. I know my people pretty well. And what I also know is the ones who are good sources of referrals for me are extremely busy. They don't have time to take care of their family and their businesses and all the rest of stuff. So it's a major imposition for me to ask them in a way to do something for me.
I understand.
Okay. Okay, good.
That's why I'm suggesting something like this. It's worth trying with a few people.
Absolutely.
So write it out. And next time we meet, we can talk about what you're offering.
Okay. Thank you.
Robert, I think you hit one of the success criteria there, which is not taking too much time. I've got somebody that I'm trying to connect with right now, and my husband met him at a meeting they were at, and he's been trying to set up a meeting between us, and the guy's always busy, and I beat husband overhead with stick and said, no, that's not how we do this. Let me walk you through what Robert tells me. And so we shifted it to, you're interested in unusual kind of leadership development. Can I send you an article? And his instant answer was yes.
Exactly.
So now I have to rewrite the article again because it's different. It's an executive coach, which is not what the article was written for. So that's what I'm doing today. that I got an instant yes to, can I send you an article, where can we set up a meeting, was getting a lot of, well, maybe kind of, and he was trying, but his enthusiasm about the article was much higher than any enthusiasm for a call. Because he's suspicious of a sales pitch, right?
Of course. So that's a, but it is a yes.
But it is a yes.
Yeah, and then the next yes is maybe more of a conversation on the phone.
Right.
And then the next yes after that might be a meeting or not. You know, I'm very reluctant for someone to come to my house and meet with me about something, or have a meeting if I'm a stranger. If I reach out to someone and say I'm interested in your services, the dynamic is different, right? You can ask for more in that case. So that's good.
And I'm just, he works at Queen's Executive Leadership, so I'm just looking for referrals from him, not business, right? But I've got to get him interested first.
Yeah. You got to get him, yeah, exactly.
It might be worth sending him your article as is, because then it might be something he could give to people.
The article was written for a different audience, so I'm just switching it to...
Are you talking about the article you've been working on recently, that article, or the previous one? Okay.
No, the recent one.
Yeah, okay. So
it's close.
One of the things we notice in this whole process is, okay, here's an offer, and we go, okay, we don't have quite the thing for the offer, so we got to create it. So Oliver has to think through how he's going to do that thing. You have to write an article, et cetera.
I have a thought here. Sharon, you know, with somebody like that that you're going to get referrals from, would it work to do a sample for him so he actually gets an experience of it? What you do is...
Yes, but I want to do... He doesn't know anything about what I do.
Uh-huh.
So the first piece is an article that Robert and I have been working on that is, and it's just a taste of it,
right,
with the next piece being, if you want to hear more, if you want to learn more, why not? And I have an online demo I can do. So what I have done in the past is try to describe the whole thing. What Robert made me do was just cut it down to enough to get them interested in the demo, in the online demo. Because when I offer the online demo straight, I don't get anybody picking me up on it. So what I'm hoping, and we'll see if this works, is that this article will be the, the bases thing or whatever. So the article will get me that on that demo that you're talking about, because then the demo is what really interests people.
The online demo?
Yeah. Online is helpful. In-person is better.
Okay, but you do in-person where they come out, the horses are there and all that.
Yeah, but they've got it. When he's in Toronto, it's a long haul to get him here. So unless the people I get to come to demos are people who've met me before, this is not somebody like that. So now I'm trying to, and that's where I got it in the past, right, was past clients. Now I'm trying to get new ones. So this is, you know, how do we get them there is my question.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah. So this is a good example of it takes a few steps to get to the thing that can turn them into a client or a strong referral source. And this is the thing that, you know, Sharon is saying, I haven't been doing that enough. I've been, you know, it's not this methodical kind of thing. So, you know, the thing is, some of these take trial and error and it takes longer than you like. So, for instance, say if you only give 6 talks a year, and you're practicing this thing, and the first 2 times you blow it completely, it's like, you know, you used up some capital, but ultimately, you know, when I was in San Francisco in Palo Alto, I tried a lot of talks, and I got better and better and better at it of making that pitch. So, you know, I practiced it, I wrote it down, I thought it through, and, you know, because I knew what I was going for. I was going for a conversation on the phone that could turn into a strategy session. And so to back it up, then, you know, I wanted to get them the article. And of course I wanted to give them a really good talk that made them think, oh wow, this could be great. Now, if I look back, the talks could have been better. The follow-up could have been better. I mean, it could always be better. So we're not looking for the perfect thing. We're looking for just something that moves it forward better than it used to before. You know, we can't, if we look for perfection in this, it's damn hard to find. It takes a long time of the trial and error. But, you know, just that breakthrough of how to, just raising the hand, I got all these cards. It was like, okay, now I can do more with that than getting four or five cards at the end. It made all the difference in the world. So, Sarah, I see you listening very studiously. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, hi everyone. I thought that, I guess the idea that sort of Roberta brought up, the idea of offering some sort of, to solve a problem, to offer some sort of value. So the, when Sharon said giving an article, I think that's really good. Like the idea of everybody wants to feel as though you can solve something for them. And I've even found, because a lot of the people that I'm dealing with, a lot of the marketing that I do is through actual adults that I come into contact with who have autism, who are working and may have trouble at their jobs. So one of the things that I've done is I've met with a lot of the people who can market my services to the companies they work for. And I find that sometimes being able to offer them something, being able to meet with them, have a conversation, offer some of that and there to listen to some free advice really makes them motivated to want to promote my services to the businesses they work for. So that for me has been powerful.
Right. So then it's a matter of, then you put your marketing, little marketing machine together.
Right.
So you have to think of that marketing plan. It's a step-by-step thing designed to get increasingly high levels of yeses.
Right.
That's the journey from first base to second base. It's the familiarity, it's the information, it's the experience, but there's so many different ways to do that. So you go to the autism groups and you sometimes give a presentation or sometimes talk to people and they say, what do you do? And, you know, she said last time I gave a short talk and I said, if someone wants to talk to me, I'm going to be in this room at this desk, and if you want to come and talk to me. And she said there was a line outside the door. How many people were waiting to talk to you?
There were seven that I had time to meet with that night, but then other people came in to see me after that.
Right. So you're in a good environment. These are people that are frustrated that because of, you know, just their work, because people don't understand them, so they treat them poorly or whatever. They're frustrated. They're not sure what step to take to improve. And you're a beam of light of possibility, right? So right. Now we're trying to figure out, well, what is the thing that will ultimately get you in to talk to a client? Now, you just sent me an email last week tell us what happened. I don't know
one of the people who I met at that autism advocacy group, basically it is people, professional people, adults who are on the autism spectrum, they have a support group. And so what I've done is I've scheduled to go to their support group once every 3 months or so. I give just a 10-minute quickie talk. I have a room at the back. If anybody wants to see me personally, they can do that. So people come and see me. One of the gentlemen who came and saw me was having a lot of difficulty with his company, was actually on short-term disability. So I sent an email to the company with his permission that said, you know, basically, I know that you have an employee on the autism spectrum. He's given me permission to contact you. I think I can help. And so we have a meeting scheduled on Tuesday. I'm meeting with the company. I'm going out to their office. So.
Great. So you've got a series of simple yeses. I mean, the offer. See, given that there's a law in Canada that that people on autism spectrum need to be accommodated if they disclose they're on the autism spectrum. So we've been trying to figure out how to, you know, who's the client? Is the person on the autism spectrum or is it the employer? The employer obviously has more money and they have an interest in doing that for legal reasons. And so, you know, I think if you keep working on that, you could get a lot of appointments. And then what is the next step there? So it's talking to them, explain, you know, it's basically a strategy session. Is everybody frozen or just Sarah? There she is. You froze for a bit there, Sarah.
You all froze for me.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That's a really good good result. And now you got to keep thinking, okay, well, what's my goal here? How am I going to play this game? What if I could get two or three meetings like that a month? What would I have to do to get two or three meetings like that a month?
Well, the other thing that I've done is I met this week with a human resource company. So basically, they outsource. They're a company where small companies will outsource the human resources to this company.
Yeah.
EEO Canada. And I'm meeting with them. They want to use me as a referral service. So if they have any small company that... Okay. If they have any small companies who have employees that have disclosed an autism spectrum disorder, they will use me as a partner referral company. So...
Okay.
I'm meeting with them next week as well.
So. Great. Fantastic. You're making progress, Sarah.
We're getting there.
You are. You really are. And, okay, so good. So who haven't we talked to? How about you, though? What is it, what makes an offer compelling enough to get a yes? I mean, a lot of our conversations have been around that whole thing. It's like, what do we say on the website? We've looked at samples, we've looked at competition, we've looked at various things.
I think it's you need to address a very big benefit. First, you need to address the pain of the customer, what he really needs, what he's struggling with the whole day, what he's thinking about, what should do about a problem, and you don't have an answer to it. So you have to find this problem first, and then you have to prepare an answer in advance on the website to address this problem that he says, yes, this is my problem. I'm seeing this. And I'm seeing that you understand my problem, that you are not just talking out air, yeah? So that you are really addressing my problem, what I have here at the moment. And I think it's also enough to address just one or two problems. You don't have to talk a lot about a lot of problems. It's just enough to take one or two. And so that you have to, that you're an expert on offer.
Yeah.
And then you have to offer, I think you have to offer a small offer at first, something that is not very costly, or something that is, how should I say, advantage for him, that is easy to do for him.
So you're talking about so first of all, I don't know, is my voice coming through okay, or is it a little garbled as well?
No, it's fine.
It's pretty good. So essentially he says you've got to present a problem that's really the problem that they can relate to. And I think that's a good principle overall. People only respond to that which they're interested to. And it's one of two things. It's a pain or it's a benefit of some sort, pain or pleasure. And right. Or they can both be used in conjunction in some cases, but it's like, you know, for instance, I'm looking for a solution. I'm looking for a really good book coach that can help me write a great book that will be very successful. So my pain is I'm not sure how to do it, but it's more I'm looking for the solution. For them, you know, they're both sort of in balance, but it has to be very clear. Yes, if someone could help me with that, I'd like to know. And then the other part is that the thing that you give away as the first step has to be simple, easy for you to do, doesn't cost you a lot of money, but gets enough attention that they say, yes, I want to know more. I mean, it's as simple and as difficult as that. Udo's is might be more difficult than anybody's because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of tools out there for measuring websites and, you know, all this stuff. And so we've been racking our brains trying to figure out, well, what do we do that's different from everybody else? But you know, that's one of the things to think. Where is the pain that your client has? So, for instance, Leanne, when we were talking about her practice and talking about Iyengar yoga and getting more into depth with it, and I see that this is, you know, often people see yoga as, you know, sort of a body movement thing that you do. That's not very motivating to me. But I saw it as something that can help my body be in better health, can help me reduce my pain in my back. Because the only thing that really helps me with my back is yoga type stretches that I do every morning. Every morning I lie on my back and I do various things, and I do lunges and I do squats, all of this stuff. And I thought, well, maybe Iyengar yoga could help me improve some of that stuff. So now I thought of it, yoga as a pain reliever. And that can be a really appeal to some people. So by the way, Leanne, I did send an email to that yoga studio, and I haven't heard back from them yet. I think I did it yesterday, after we talked. See, sometimes people request help, and then people don't respond. They just want you to go to a free yoga class. Maybe they don't want to talk to you. I don't know. So we called a window company because we wanted to replace the windows in our house. It was a good ad, a good special. Never heard back from them. Heard back from them once, and then we disconnected. So I called someone else, and I bought $8,000 worth of windows from the guy. So you got to follow up on this stuff. Who knows where it will go? So that's sort of a different topic. But okay, so I think almost everybody has spoken. So let's see if there's other things about this offer. I want to go back to Mark Thompson, and the $100,000 man. He's selling to top CEOs in this company, people that make a lot of money, people that have serious businesses, people that, you know, want to grow their businesses. But not everybody is in the place to be right for them. They want to be in the place where they're serious about taking their business to a whole new level. So you have to speak. The more you understand what it is your client wants, and really have the words and the offer that meets that, the more likely you'll get response. And it's going to be nobody wakes up in the morning going, I know, I'll use someone who uses horses to improve leadership. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, but they do wake up and think, how do I improve my leadership? I've got a lot of people with huge potential, and yet they're not stepping up. They keep making these mistakes. I tell them 50 times to listen better, and they're always talking. What the hell can I do? So the more Sharon understands that frustration that leader who works with his leaders has, the more she understands that, she can offer something that really makes them think, oh, this can get some fast change, some real deep insights. Have you sent the article to other people in this group, Sharon? Well, she has this one part in this article. Why don't you take yourself off mute? She has this one part in this article. It says, I'm working with this guy, and he's in front of the horse, and he's patting the horse on the head. And I said, do you notice that? And she says, how does that feel? He said, oh, it feels great, whatever. I'm not going to represent it perfectly, Sharon, but I'll give you an idea. He says, do you notice that his ears are back? Oh, yeah, that's really cute. Well, no, when his ears are back, what that means is that he's afraid. He feels trapped. He's on alert. And patting his, and also you're right in front of his face, and his eyes are kind of on the side. He really can't see you very well, so he's really wary. And patting him that way, he hasn't really invited it yet, so he feels threatened. And he's going, yes, and he keeps on patting him. And Sharon keeps pointing it out, and suddenly he gets it. He gets it. Oh my God, it's not my people that need to listen. I need to listen. And it's like a mind-blowing realization that he can never not see again, never forget. He gets it. I got to listen. And then after that, you didn't tell me how it proceeds after that, but obviously he probably steps away and starts to learn what really does work. And it's a whole new experience. And then there's this exercise they do where you have the horse follow you, but you've got a rein on him, the halter, and the horses are following them around the barn because that's what horses do. And everybody feels, okay, great, I'm a great leader, the horses are following me. Then he says, okay, drop the lead or the halter or whatever, and then see what happens. And the horses just stop.
Yeah, I ask the people if the horse is following willingly, and they all say yes. So I reach up and unbuckle the halter and take it away, and they all look at me like, what did you just do?
But then she actually teaches them how to get the horses to follow them without the halter. It's like, that's magic. That's like the business card thing. It's like just a couple things and completely different results. And then so someone sees that kind of thing. You know, it would be great, I don't know, sometime, some point, if you could capture that kind of thing in the video. Because it would be, you know, it would be amazing to be able to capture those kinds of moments that are so startling to the participants. But anyway, in explaining to it, it's very powerful. And writing about it is powerful as well. So yeah. The idea.
What I'm hoping is that if I describe it, people will want to come to the demo, like Roberta was talking about. I can describe it, but if you want to actually experience it, let's set up a demo with a horse. Because once I get to do it, then I've got them.
Yeah.
It's just, in the past, my problem was I wasn't talking to the right people in the company. So I'd bring in all these people in HR, and they loved it. And they sent all their, I had one company that sent every person in HR to the demo. And I was thinking, ooh, I got all this business. Turned out they weren't going to do any business with me. They just loved the demo so much, all the HR people. One person got sent as her parting gift from the company was to come to my demo. So that's when I stopped doing open demos.
Yeah, so the ask is for, you know, obviously this has to make, this is, so I'm glad you brought that up. So one of the components of an offer is it has to be what?
It has to be
the right person.
Yeah.
You're making perfect offers to the wrong person.
Yeah, I could get 10,000 people here, but, you know, I'd be real tired and have no business. We once did a video, there's a video called Fish. I don't know if you've seen the, it's a Seattle Wharf House Pike's Place Fish Market, and we did a program based on Pike's Place Fish Market. This was my husband's genius idea. At that point, we had a big mailing list, sent it out. We booked 5 sessions at 5 different hotels. Each session cost us, we had to book the hotel, rent the space, do all that kind of thing. Every session was full. They were all free. And then we got a cease and desist from the people who sent out the video saying we weren't allowed to actually market the training, but they were willing to come to the session and distribute goods at it. And they got lots of business, and the whole thing cost me $5,000. Whee! If you want a real, you know, how to do this the wrong way.
So
I don't let my husband
it the wrong way so many times. It's like, I got to find the right way. It's like, that doesn't work. So that's interesting. So yeah. I've seen this many times, Sharon. It's like people put together this thing, but they don't have the perspective to see, you know, will it work or not. And so
we did get business out of it, but it was from 2 people who didn't make the session, because then we actually were able to have in-depth conversations with them about their needs. And that moved into business. But we didn't get that conversation with the people who came to the session.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sorry. Sharon, Yeah. I was just wondering, just quickly, the thought that you had before, the demos that you were offering that were so successful and companies wanted to have, like, what if you had a cap on the number of people or the number of demos a company was allowed to attend? So if it was one HR person can attend for free, and then after that there's a cost, and even if it's a not your high-end service package, but a smaller cost demo, and at least you're selling them based on the wonderful experience that just one or two HR people have had.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a possibility. We could, if I'm, I need to, I've lost my mailing list at this point, but reaching out to some other groups and maybe having some lower cost demos and just having one or two from the company, because then they can refer me within the company.
Exactly.
That's a really good thought.
Exactly, and especially if they wanted to give it as somebody's goodbye, like if it's such, if it's so impactful and companies are loving it, then maybe you could sell that as a service itself, as long as you're limiting the number of people who are getting it.
Right.
Well, of course, the other piece is to say the HR people are welcome to come, but in order for to do a demonstration, we have to have certain levels of managers, because the program is not for HR people, it's for managers. They need to experience it. So we're happy to give it for free if you bring them, and we'll come in and give a little talk at your company about it and get them interested, whatever.
Right.
But you gotta get those people.
I have a question. Does it have to be for free? Can't there be a cost? I mean, you're giving this for free. They've seen different things, but couldn't there be a minimal cost to anchor it? I mean, it's an expensive demo to be putting on. Besides, you've got all that $5,000 stuff to recoup.
I'm still working on that one.
Yeah.
I
think there'd be sometimes there's a modest fee for programs. You're giving a lot free. You got your article, you got conversations, you know, up the value and charge them.
Well, that's a whole other piece of the offer. Got about seven or eight things here. Is to charge or not? So in a way, the writing coach I mentioned, she charges, but it's a low fee. So because here's something that I found: if people pay you something, even if it's a small fee, they're more likely to pay you more. You know. So just the fact that you've paid for something, you've got a lot of value, then you're thinking, okay, well, this is great. I've got more ideas for my books. I got to get a better idea of the direction. And I like working with this person. And so she's made a little bit of money. Obviously, she can't live on just doing those. But, you know, there's a little skin in the game. So if you charge for something like this, you have to put the fee in a context. Is that we simply charge a nominal fee to cover our expenses for this. Because there are expenses for lunch, there's expenses for some staff.
Food, et cetera, et cetera. You have to pay the horses, you have to feed the horses.
So something like that. So that's a possibility. It's a nominal fee. Maybe it's $50 a person. I don't know.
I've got when I put the demo thing up on the website, I usually put a fee to that. When I invite people personally, I don't charge a fee. So
you can always comp, you know, people that are in line, but having the whole HR department is just over the top.
Yeah. That was a government ministry too.
One of my clients, a client in Calgary, he did process improvement. So he'll come into a company, figure all the things that are, you know, we're doing 10 steps when we could be doing 2 steps. And we're, you know, these sort of things develop organically in a company and waste a huge amount of time. So he's an expert at that. So what he offered is a 2-day workshop inside the company in which he guaranteed they would identify no less than $50,000 in savings. And actually, it's not him that identified it. It was actually the employees. But he facilitated in such a way that they saw that, oh, I see if we do this, this, and that, that will save this and that and take this step out and blah, blah, blah. $50,000 minimum. and then they would hire him to implement. But he charged $5,000 for that program. But that isn't where he made his money, but he didn't lose money. And they were serious because they paid some money. So one possible thing is you don't even call, I'm not sure if this is right for you, but just in terms of a concept, we have a sort of an introduction program. It's only half a day. We do this, this, and this. You get a lot of value out of it anyway, and we charge a nominal fee. So it might be something like that. Again, it's still that same concept is they say yes to this, they say yes to this. What is the next thing that they can say yes to? Because if you keep offering that which they say no to, you know it's not the right offer.
Right.
You know that if you charge and nobody comes, that's not the right offer. You know that if you charge a nominal amount and it's a certain amount of time and then they buy, you found the formula. So you keep testing that. Just like my client Mark, we're going to test, well, what is it that offer is going to be so they feel, wow, we'd get a lot out of that. And they don't, it is a sales conversation, but they get a lot out of it. So maybe he charges a fee for that. He doesn't now. Maybe he charges $1,000 for it. I don't know. So there's no, we do know these elements are important. So let's go over some of these. So promise that there'll be clarity. They'll get clarity out of taking this step. The offer will give them that. They'll get the pain will be addressed. They'll get some confidence and build conf. I think this was from you, Shana.
It's confidence.
Confidence, competence, and it should be something that's convenient and easy to take advantage of. You know, a phone conversation is not hard, but if see when. Here's another element. You should put a name on your offer and make it into something tangible. So I call it a marketing strategy session. But what it is just a chat about your marketing. But if I just say it's a chat about your marketing, it doesn't have the perception of value. So you put a name on it and see, do a demo doesn't sound valuable as an equine breakthrough experience or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Think of what you call that demo, put a name around it so it looks valuable. It should look and sound valuable.
No, not make it sound valuable. Acknowledge its value.
Well, acknowledge its value. But it's, you know, that's what marketing is. It's you know, it is of value. We know that. We're not trying to put a make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. We're not trying to do that. But we're trying to articulate in a way that sounds beneficial to someone. I mean, words matter. What else do you have in marketing but words? I mean, it's a big, big part of marketing, right? You have words, you have images, you have your presence, all of that is very important. So, okay, so it has to address the pain, something that doesn't take too much time. You know, some people say, hey, I wanted to invite you to our blah, blah, blah. You know, I get these calls all the time. We'd like to invite you for a free ticket to the Bahamas. And then what are you thinking? Well, what's the friggin' catch? Maybe some people, you know there's going to be some kind of a timeshare kind of thing that they're going to do. And you know it's going to be good because they found out a way to make this profitable. So you know you'll probably end up spending God knows $70,000, so you just avoid it. But it does, but again, that does work. I mean, it's a big giveaway. It's a big offer. Free to the Bahamas and 3 days in the Bahamas. Everything's covered except your airfare, of course, to Florida where the plane takes off, where the boat takes off. Anyway, you get the idea. Make the problem clear. Also, make the offer. The offer itself has to be crystal clear and simple. Confusing offers are not going to work for you. So clear and simple. And perceived as valuable. Truly valuable. That's why we call it a marketing strategy session instead of just a chat. So when I'm talking to someone or someone is showed some interest, and I'm having that first session, I say, this is what we usually do. We do what I call a marketing strategy session, takes about an hour, sometimes a little bit more. We do this, 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 and this. How does that sound? And I can't remember, to tell you the truth, I can't remember any time people have said no to that. They were already qualified. They were already interested. But it's like, okay, that's going to give me a taste. So the concept is an offer is a taste or an experience. So what I've tried to do in this presentation today, or I should give a name to this, in my dynamic presentations about offers, the offer breakthrough, we'll call it that, is to show that there's multi dimensions of this offer. And the more dimensions it has, the more clarity, simplicity, the right price, all of these pieces, you've really made it into a thing that's valuable, the more people will want to take advantage of it. And master marketers are great at doing that. They just find that offer that people go, yeah, that sounds great. And so it doesn't usually take much money or a lot of time to figure it out. So as I work with you guys over the next month and next sessions, we'll be talking about your offers. You know, how can you improve that offer? How can you make it more compelling? How can you make it more interesting? How can you make it fit all these criteria that we've talked about here? So has this got your brain spinning in the right direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the examples are great that we've talked about. So, see, I'd like to see you, Roberta, the next time you offer something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do again.
You wouldn't do that way.
No.
So I'm playing this little game. I've told you this game of networking in Boulder Creek and see if I could actually attract some clients here. And I never seem to bump into the right kind of clients, independent professionals, but I'm having fun. At least I'm meeting people. I'm getting out there in the community, but I'm starting to think, what are offers that I could make? And there's a lot of silent auctions in Boulder Creek. So I could offer a free copy of my marketing ball book that comes with a strategy session. I'm going to try something like that, you know, things like that. It's sort of like an experiment because I haven't done that kind of thing at that level in a long time. It's just sort of keeps me sharp and keeps me thinking about offers and, you know, what is interesting to people. Because it's easy to get off track really quickly. What do? Well, I help people with their marketing. I discovered that's a crappy audio logo. So I struggle with that when I'm doing that because I don't have had to do audio logos. So it's like I get to talk to people and practice a lot just doing that. It's a heck of a lot easier if you've got a big list in email. A lot easier. But anyway, so I'm in the trenches playing with this as well. Okay, so there's one last thing before we wrap up. I want to make an announcement. Sarah Jane is not going to be continuing with the program. So I don't want to get into all the personal reasons, but just couldn't make it work for her. She just couldn't make it work for her. So she was somewhat challenging to work with, but I always loved our sessions together. But anyway, so she's not going to be continuing. So if you've had a relationship with her or talked to her before or whatever and want to be in touch with her, that's fine with me. But she won't be on the future calls. You know, I was really sorry to shoot, a month or before or so, she said she didn't want to be in it. And I gave her a lot of pushback and said, look, this is what I'll do. And she said, fine. And then a month later, she said, no, I give up. So I said, I'm not going to beat my head against the wall trying to get her back in. It's just not working for her. But she got a lot in the program. She's really starting to do outreach, and she's got a whole new website and stuff. So I wish her the best of luck. but it's very rare that I lose anybody in this program, so I hate it when it happens. But I just want to let you know. Okie doke.
Thank you.
That's it. So we meet again on the 28th, I believe.
Yep.
And then for August. So I'm starting to set up all my sessions for August. For the next meeting that I have with you, we'll set up August and perhaps through October. Because I have a retreat I'm going away to in the middle of August, so we have to work around that. And then I have a vacation at the end of September. But we can make it work. Okay, guys. Was this valuable today, by the way?
Yeah.
I want to see heads nodding. Yes, it was valuable. I need acknowledgement. I need that. It was fun. I think it was useful. It really got me thinking about this. Okay, guys, that's it. We'll see you on your individual calls next week, a number of you, and 2 weeks in the group. Okay, that's it. Bye, everybody.